If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
And now, a feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh, Dammit.
Now the pressure's on. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Now I feel a tremendous amount of pressure. Before we get to this audio, by the way, a scandal followed me yesterday throughout on my Instagram account at Fred Toucher via email about not washing your hands after you pee.
Oh, boy.
First of all, someone call in 617-779-0985 and explain how urine is sterile, first of all. And second of all, explain to me how the doorknob of the bathroom. Okay, so here's your scenario. Okay, so you go and you pee. It's the cleanest part of your body, unless you're human scum.
Yeah.
This is the cleanest part of your body.
Your pig pet or something.
Is your penis. I mean, you do that. Now, it's double jeopardy. If it's a sink with a like a thing that you gotta turn on to make the sink go,
yep.
That is covered in Lord knows what it is. So if you wash your hands and you touch that, game over. And then if I wash my hands and I go to leave the bathroom, the door handle's going to be disgusting. So what would you rather have? The garbage that floats around in a disgusting public bathroom, or your hands touching the cleanest part of your body? And then
why don't you do the paper towel on the handle? You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, if I can.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wet my hands, run them through the old the hair.
Sure.
Give myself a little Hasselhoff.
Yeah, well, you gotta get gussied up sometimes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then I'm getting these things. Well, he doesn't shower every day. Well, of course I don't shower every day. What are you showering every day for? Like a maniac. Yeah. Who the hell showers every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Wallach gets up and showers.
You shower every day?
Every day.
On the weekend?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you get up this morning?
I usually do it when I fill in on mornings because I need to wake up.
Yeah.
It's like a wake up thing. It's not a cleanliness thing.
Every day.
I'm fine with not showering for my own filth. It's more just to wake up.
Every minute in the morning that you're showering could be spent sleeping.
True.
I need to shower every day.
Now, even if you've exerted no effort,
couldn't tell you the last time I showered on a Sunday. Couldn't even fathom the last time I showered on a Sunday.
There'll be times that, like, because I coach basketball at 1 o'clock on Saturdays. At 4 o'clock on Sundays, like, there's a practice, and there'll be times where I realize that I it's quite obvious I haven't showered, and then I'll go home and shower.
Sure.
But if I've exerted no physical activity, if I've done nothing, I'm not gonna shower.
Right.
Like yesterday, I did nothing.
Right.
I didn't shower.
A marathon or something? No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the trainer, you go to the gym, you shower.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I have no problem with not showering. I just again.
And by the way,
I do it to wake up.
If you shower at the Y, your eyes are getting a load of a lot of things in that is
now that's
not worth
that's
showering.
A different argument. Whenever I go to the gym and work out, I never shower there.
See, I belong to a gym I never go to.
You're
but
not
it's
a
super
shower
nice
guy. Yeah,
it's super nice. So like you want to use the shower,
yeah,
but I haven't been there in 3 months, so shows you where I'm at. TJ, go ahead.
All right, Fred, I'm with you on this whole washing your hands thing, and here's why. Look, I take a shower, I clean everything. Then you put on a clean pair of boxer shorts,
exactly,
right?
Yes.
So if anything, you should be washing your hands before you take, you go to the bathroom because your hands have been exposed to everything dirty all day.
Yes.
So if anything, your hands are dirty.
Preach.
So you should be washing your hands before.
Yep.
Because you're putting dirty hands on, you know, your thing. And then, so you're spreading dirt to that area of your body. And then when I go, let's be honest, I'm not peeing on my hands.
No. You're a grown man. And by the way,
you're not Moises Alou.
What?
Moises Alou.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pee on his hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, yeah.
Superstitious.
I was just like, what is it?
Yeah, yeah. Moises Alou. Pee on his hands. Everybody knows that.
That was pretty good, Jones. Yeah. Kind of pulled that right out of there.
Yeah,
that's
good. I think
peeing on your hands, I think Moises Alou. What do you guys think? You don't think that?
I just think, hey, there's a jellyfish thing. Matt, go ahead.
Fred, man, you're a sicko. You got to wash your hands, bro, after you go pee.
No, and by the way, you're a man. You know what goes on in those bathrooms. It's absolutely disgusting.
I'm with Jones, though. I'm with you, Adam. I mean, I'm saying you gotta wash your hands and maybe use your sleeve, or you gotta use something to touch that door handle afterwards.
I don't do that at all. I mean, I wash my hands, but I don't do the door handle. I'm not freaked out about germs. That doesn't bother me. Well, but you don't. Yes,
I'm not.
Are you worried about
you got the wrong host that's freaked out by
germs. But what are you worried about with the door handles and stuff?
You're just saying the door handles
in theory would be worse.
I'm taking you through the logic of the whole thing.
I see. So you're not afraid of touching the door handles. You're just
I don't care. All I want to do is get out of there.
Yeah. I think the more germs you touch, it toughens you up.
I agree.
Expose yourself to a little bit of germ.
Right. Like if you're constantly sanitizing your kids' hands, they're going to be
resistant to all that stuff.
Well, I talked about this before, is that they took kids and that would be prone to a peanut allergy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like they had eczema or something. And they put them in two groups. One group was not exposed to peanuts. They did not know if they had a peanut allergy. But it's all done under, you know, science. The other group was given popcorn from Israel that was like dusted in very light peanut butter. The group that was not exposed to peanut butter had something like five times more kids that ended up with the peanut allergy than the other people.
Yeah. Your body's not used to breaking it down and dealing with it.
Yeah.
So that's how you develop the allergy in some cases.
Yeah. So that's why you can't wash. You're just doing yourself a disservice every time you wash your hands.
You need a little germs in your life. I don't disagree with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if it's a clean wipe, you're out of there too. Monty, go ahead.
Not only do I agree with Wallach, I pretty much shower every day, but I know why. I mean, I spoke to my friend who's a zoologist, and he said that eagles are very clean animals, like super clean. So this is a simple explanation as to why Wallach has to shower every day. Yeah. You got to keep them feathers clean, baby.
Very meticulous.
Makes sense.
It is.
True.
I mean, you can only peck away so much. I think you guys are insane to get up and shower in the morning. I have my clothes laid out.
I'm only parachuting in for a few days here and there, rarely. If I had to do this every single day, I may change my stance, but I can't wake up. I'm not like you guys. I don't do this every day.
I've done it 9 years. I still need to wake up in the morning, and the shower helps. It does.
Yeah, a shower makes you feel better, but I can't. Bring myself.
It's not like I'm standing in there for 25 minutes.
No, I understand.
You shower every day on the weekends?
Yes.
I do. That needs to be investigated.
You don't wash your hair every day?
No, not every day. I mean, I have no hair.
Well, that's bad for you. But Rod Stewart, in his book, said the big secret is that you can't wash your hair every day.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because the natural oils help your hair.
I wash my hair every time I'm in the shower.
So that's not good.
I got to start skipping?
Ask your wife. I bet you she doesn't wash her hair every. I mean, you wet your head.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're
it depends
saying
that, if you, you
don't
put
use
product,
the shampoo.
Do you put product in your hair?
Yeah, very rarely.
Yeah. So if you don't have any product, I haven't washed my hair in 2 days.
Well, good for you.
I took a shower 2 days ago. Okay. Didn't wash my hair.
Right.
Didn't shower yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
Haven't showered yet today.
No.
Sure.
And maybe I won't.
Can't remember the last time you washed your hands.
That fits right in with the flat brim life you're leading.
Yeah.
I don't have a flat brim hat on.
Yeah, there's.
I'm embarrassed by those now, but quite frankly,
there's definitely quite a curve.
Wait, stop right here. You're embarrassed by the flat brim?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's.
It ridiculous. Was a whole thing. You were Rich and I would say, "What are you doing?" You're like, "It's you know, you were puffing out your chest, you were popping your collar. I'm flat brim for life, baby."
No.
It was a whole thing with you for like years and years. Am I making a mistake here?
No,
it was a whole thing for years and years.
It was my steez for many, many years, and it served me very well.
And now, what happened? You've aged out of it. What happened?
It's just dumb.
You look
well.
Back on
it. I could have told you that. As a matter of fact, I did tell you that.
Yeah, but who cares what you said?
I see. All right.
Yeah. Like here's some barometer of cool.
I didn't say I was. I'm just saying I was right.
You got to make sacrifices for fashion sometimes. You know, it's just you just know. You
He's wear, out of the flat brim. My
you wear
God,
you wear the flat the, brim. You know these things are cyclical.
It's a revelation of the morning.
Okay, you know? I had a mustache in 2006 before anyone.
Yeah.
Then I was wearing flat brims. Right at the start of flat brims, and I'm predicting the end of the flat brim.
Oh, you're out on flat brims.
I'm predicting that.
I mean,
that,
I know you're out on them individually, but you're saying they're just out.
I'm going to say my street culture,
it's
which
different.
I'm all about.
It's different for Fred because Fred, most people wear the flat brim a little off to the side. Yep. Fred didn't do that. Fred was straight on.
Cockeyed, yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of the cool kids apparently wore it to the side a little bit. You were out on that. You were just it was a statement. But not all the way. So now that I'm looking at it, because that Detroit hat used to be flat, correct? And you've curved the brim a little bit.
We have another Detroit hat that's flat. Yeah, I have another Detroit hat that's flat. This is a hat that has been
big decision on a hat. Once you bend that brim a little, there's no going back.
But that's right.
This is like a JCC pool hat.
Oh, yep. I see. Okay,
it breathes a little bit. It's a snapback.
Yep. Sure.
Is, yeah. It's a hat that, you know, if you go fishing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
I saw that earlier and I said, that's a fish I could, a hat I could gut a nice fish in.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
It's black, so you have to, it's very early morning.
Yep.
Then you have to shift to a different color. Yes.
A question, and again, I'm not nearly cool enough to know this. Does that mean you're out on the no pockets lifestyle now that you've gone away from the flat brim? I thought those two were one in hand and glove.
No.
No, you're still no pockets.
There's no pockets because I ain't losing the bet. I don't even need them. Freddie, no pockets. I ain't losing that bet. What do I need pockets for?
Right. Okay, so you're still no pockets. You're just out on the flat brim.
And I don't even have to hold a driver's license because when the cops pull me over, they're just like, Freddie T.
Of course.
And I'm like, this mug is my license, baby.
I got to write this stuff down.
Yep.
Mike, go ahead.
For the record, this is the longest I've ever been on the air, so thank you very much.
Very good. You could have piped in at any time.
I was just entertained by the conversation. So, steak and eggs, you filthy effing animals.
That's right.
Jesus, dude. I honestly, if I start to smell myself at all, I'll freak out. Like, I'll have to run to, like, the nearest public shower.
Yeah, that is part of the danger of, I will be honest with you, of, because usually I don't smell, but that is part of the danger.
I do not shower every day. Like,
you shouldn't.
Like, you get up. Oh God! I understand like the hair washing thing, and even the hand washing thing. Like
who showers on weekends?
What?
If I'm going out, I shower.
Well, right. Of course, I don't go out. But right, if shower I did, in theory, every yes, day. I would shower for that.
There is a time
I'm sitting around my apartment. Hell no.
There have been times when I've been coaching basketball poorly, 4 o'clock on a Sunday, where at that time of day in a gym environment that's filled with people and it gets that humidity. Where I go, like, I can smell, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm smelling from, like, places that you really shouldn't smell from.
A little too much, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm, like, and then I'm embarrassed because I know the guy I coach with probably can smell that.
Yeah.
And I look homeless as it is.
It's kind of a manly thing, though, don't you think?
Should we just let this ride for another segment?
Mike worked really hard. I mean, he really had to hold his nose while going through the audio.
We can do that tomorrow.
All right.
617-779-0985. Apparently, this has excited the public. We'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rip.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson is going to join us. We'll actually talk about football. He will join us in about 10 minutes.
Hey, he's probably taking his morning shower.
Like a fool. Like a big water. That's the conglomerate. Big water. They want you using that water like nobody's business.
Water rights, quite a big deal.
And people shocked by the me giving up the flat brims.
Yeah. You went on and on. This is for like years.
Yes.
You went on and on and told us how stupid we were for criticizing you for wearing a flat brim. And now you're out. That's amazing. Right. And this is just, you just casually threw it out there off the cuff. Like, no, it's no big deal.
Fashion comes and goes.
No, you know? But I mean, you the defenses he put up, and you know how he kept, you know, riding Rich and I for being too stupid to join the flat brim no pockets movement. Well, and all of a sudden, he's out on the flat brim. I just find this incredible.
I find the no
pockets. I mean, that's the headline of the morning. That you're out on flat.
I'm not out on the no pockets lifestyle. I just told you, Freddie, no pockets. Don't worry, no change.
Okay. All right. For now, until you change your mind.
50s, 100s, all arranged. Anything less than that, you keep the change.
Okay.
Steve, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
You guys got it all wrong. Yeah, you got to shower every day. You got to shower at night before you go to sleep. Think about it. Every day you're out in the world with all that junk, and then you just go sleep in your bed every night. You got like a 7-day like cesspool of all your stuff, even if you change your sheets every week. It's nasty.
Yeah.
You gotta shower in the evening, not in the morning.
Well, that's what I do. If I choose to shower, which is up to me.
You can't wake up.
But you know what I'll sometimes do, and my wife loves it, is that I will go to the trainer in the morning.
Yeah.
And you might say, obviously I'm doing the trainer in reverse, but I do twice a week go to a trainer, and I'll come home and I'll nap in my own filth.
Kind of sit in your filth. I'll sit in my filth. I don't usually nap in it. But I'll come home, go for a run or something like that, come home and sit in it for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can no longer sleep on the couch because of this pit bull we have.
Oh.
That will immediately just lay on me.
Do we know it's a pit bull?
It's got to be a pit bull. It's a Tennessee garbage dog.
I'm just saying it. Your mom.
Well, go to @FredTutcher and look at my beautiful picture. It's the Mademoiselle Puff and Mademoiselle Muff. She's 19.
What do you have to yell in the car again to calm her down?
Kitty, 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 boosa, kitty.
Right.
Kid, 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 kid. Meow, 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 meow.
Wife put him on speakerphone when the cat was freaking out in the car, so it would calm the cat down.
Yeah, and the cat could calm down. The cat won't sit on anyone but me.
Cat's alive, though, right?
Cat's alive.
19.
Was peeing blood the other day. Wife took her to the vet, and the vet said, we'll give her a shot, and she's good to go.
But anyway, so you're not sure if the dog's a pit bull or not. Your mom seems convinced that it was going to turn into a killer in about a year.
Well, my God. What is...
Jones, great story, Jones.
This is true.
Oh, there's a follow-up.
We're all over the place, but this is true about my cat.
All right.
And I swear to God, this is exactly the conversation. I was driving home from here, and my mother called me because I hadn't been on the air a couple times because I was sick. And I'm like, Stephanie's taking the cat to the vet because she's been peeing blood. And my mom goes, yeah, she'll probably die today.
Mom, it was precious.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you need to tell it like it is.
She goes, oh, yeah, she'll probably die today. I go, what are you talking about?
And your dad's like, oh, who cares?
Oh, yeah, my dad was really, he was on the phone. He was like, wanting to hear what I had to say. And my dad was, Freddie, hey, what's going on?
Jones, I'm glad you're here. You've kind of got a nice cross-section of Fred these 3 days.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, just so you have a fuller picture. Anyway,
So with the dog, like, we didn't know if it was pit bull or not, and she goes, if it's a pit bull, it's fine. Like, you don't know until 2 years if they're going to be very aggressive and violent.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, great. Thanks. Because for 2 years, you sit around and wait for them to see if they'll be violent.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to Instagram. It's a cute, beautiful picture of me with the two animals. Hmm. The dog is all rolled up on me. The cat is sitting on my chest, right around my face.
Yeah.
Huh.
The cat will give me kisses.
Wow.
She comes up and she licks my lips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's sanitary.
Oh, yeah.
That's very sanitary.
Oh, like when the dog...
I don't mind the dog up in my face.
Oh, really? When the dog eats the cat crap and then starts lapping water out of the toilet and then jumps up and starts wanting to lick your face?
I don't mind the dog so much. The cat, for some reason. Yeah.
Cats are clean animals.
No, they are clean.
And that's a true
what
story.
What they eat is just gross. I understand if your dog's eating poop.
When I was sick...
what cats eat is just... Ugh.
The cat...
Is your cat eating wet food?
No.
Okay.
When my cat was on the third floor, his litter box was on the third floor. I had to sleep up there when I was sick.
Yeah.
So I heard the dog eating the cat crap. Then she goes into the bathroom and starts lapping toilet water.
Yep.
Then jumps on the bed and she smells like crap and wants to lick me.
Yeah.
And then I
draw a line there. I'm with you on that one. That's where I draw a line. The poop and maybe the toilet water.
I mean, the Mademoiselle Muff is a woman of great distinction. She's a dainty lady.
Yeah.
Chad, go ahead.
Am I on the air, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was sitting here on the air for a few seconds.
All right. We had to dump you, too. But, yeah, you were on the air for probably about, 5 minutes, actually. But go ahead.
So, Fred, I love you. I think we're separated at birth. But you got to be careful, man, because you can go nose blind. What's the longest you've ever gone without taking a shower? Be honest with me.
Okay. So as an adult, 4 days.
4 days. Okay. What I don't want to, cause Jones and Wallach, those guys weigh about $2 combined. Me and you are bigger guys. What I don't want to happen is your boss sit down with you. Cause this happened to me one day and be listen, we're getting some complaints of your, oh, this is tough. How do I bring it up? You don't want Rich complaining that you smell when you're coming into work, buddy.
Yeah, well, he considered it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the night you got your own chair.
I'm sick of being called a bigger guy, too, because this is a recent development over the last year and a half. Not saying it's wrong.
At least you got your own chair. Yeah, you don't have to worry about... I guess you don't technically have your own chair.
No, chairs. I had to go and search around the studio for my chair.
That's true. The chairs wheel around. That's true. You have your own space. I guess you don't have your own chair.
Yeah, I don't mind. Sit in the chair. I heard that Mark Jamelli was in this chair. Sit down. Have a good time.
He was in that chair, yes.
Hey, he was.
He was right in this chair, is what I've been told. And he can sit in it all he likes, as far as I'm concerned. But there you go. No more flat-brim hats. Mademoiselle Muff, very clean. You don't wash your hands after you pee, and showering every day is a scam perpetrated by Big Water.
We've solved a lot of problems in this last hour.
Yep. Perpetrated by Big Water.
I mean, this is a public service is what the show is.
Yeah.
There's no overlap between Big Water and Big Ice. I think on a Venn diagram, there might be a little overlap, but I think they're mostly separate.
No, with ice, you just go out in the backyard in the winter.
Yeah.
Pick it up and put that in your drink. Well, do you shower twice a day?
No.
Wallach? Do you shower every time you go in the pool?
No. Not every time, no.
Wait, so you shower in the morning?
Yes.
What happens when you work out?
Well, I mean, other than the obvious, if you go and work out when I run... I will come home and I will shower.
So you shower twice a day.
Have
I ever? Yes. Do I do it consistently? No.
Well, when do you work out before work?
I used to run a lot more than I do now.
sounds like twice a day to me.
That's just the bell of the ball over here with two showers.
Oh. Well, I thought you meant most days. Yes, I have showered twice a day.
The water bill on this guy.
Yeah. And that's before we start the sprinkler system during the...
Oh, yeah. He's got to
outside the Wallach manse, so we get the sprinkler system.
He's got a plow guy that will come at 3 in the morning. He's got a
two-car garage.
It's sprinkler system outside.
His house is bigger than mine.
Sprinkler system.
His house is bigger than mine.
Because I moved 15 miles west of Boston.
Yeah. You're not that far away. Yeah.
Lives in the sticks.
I live further away from Boston than he does. That means I automatically get more property.
Yep. He's living there. He lives in a bigger house than me. He's got a bigger yard. He's
tumbleweeds roll by.
That's right. There's no one near me out in the forest.
Yeah. No, just right when you get into the area where they allowed fast food.
Yeah. Oh. And that's where the property is.
It's like you guys suggest I use the snowplow in Newton at 4:30 in the morning. That's very funny.
I think you're still obsessing about this.
The cops would have been in my house in 5 seconds. All right. Will Brinson's going to join us. We will talk to him about all the goings on in the NFL as we get close to, or they wrapped up the combine, I believe. I don't know if they did or not.
Yeah.
But here are the headlines.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This
is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson, our good friend Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. And Will joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello.
Good morning. What's up? How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. I can't wait to hear from your children as well.
Robbie will probably scream, "You win," after he eats his pancakes on what is a creative racing breakfast board. So get excited.
All right. Very good. All right. Adam Jones is in for Rich today. And you have an interesting idea in terms of the Patriots.
Yeah, so I mean, and it's not like a novel concept by any means. Like Kyler Murray seems like he's the presumed number one overall pick. That would make Josh Rosen available. Do you see the Patriots as a potential fit?
I think it was, just to give full credit, I think it was actually my colleague Sean Wagner, but I will be happy to talk about it because I discussed it with him on our podcast. And yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots are a fit. I mean, this would be so perfectly Belichickian for the Cardinals to draft Josh Rosen, who I think is a better quarterback than people are giving him credit for. I mean, he had a really rough setup last year, terrible offensive line, the worst in football by the end of the season. You know, Larry Fitzgerald is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but he is clearly past his prime. Christian Kirk, their early round pick, got hurt. You know, you look at his pass catchers, and I think he had a worse shake than even Josh Allen in Buffalo. And so, to me, it would giving up like a second round pick or even the 32nd overall pick for this, you know, former top 10 selection that his team gave up on after 1 year. That's classic Belichick, stashing behind Tom Brady for 2 years. You got $8 million total. I guess maybe like $6 million total because left on his contract. The Cardinals have paid out 65% of it. He's cost nothing, high upside. He gets to learn under Tom Brady. You know, you have the fifth-year option available. You have the franchise tag available if you need to. You could basically, you know, do what you were trying to do with Jimmy G and set yourself up for life after Brady. And, you know, even Tom at this point has admitted that 45 is his, you know, he's not going to go past 45. So, yeah, I mean, it makes total sense if you're the Patriots. I think if they called the Cardinals and offered that first-round pick, number 32, that the Cardinals would jump at it. I don't know if they want to give up that much because they're still in a win-now mode. But, man, I mean, if the rest of the league somehow allows the Patriots to get a top-10 quarterback for dirt cheap after his first, you know, tough rookie year, well, that just explains why everyone keeps losing.
You mentioned Rosen was a top-10 pick last year in what is looking like a pretty good quarterback draft. How do you think he'd compare if he came out this year with Kyler Murray and Haskins and Locke and those guys? How do you think he'd stack up in this year's draft?
If we were taking them as they were prospects,
yeah,
like coming out,
yeah,
I think Rosen would be the top guy. You know, I would have, I mean, not amongst all of his class, of course. Like, I would still have, I had Baker Mayfield 1 and then Darnold a very close 2 and then Rosen 3 after that. And neither Kyler Murray nor Dwayne Haskins, nor Daniel Jones, nor Drew Locke, or any of these guys would be above them. And I would probably have them above Josh Allen based on where I ranked my quarterbacks, but not substantially. I mean, I think Kyler Murray's a fun prospect. There's a lot more flaws in his game than I think Baker Mayfield. You know, Kyler more so than Baker looks to run first rather than he moves to run rather than moving to throw the way that Baker Mayfield did. And so that's concerning. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Josh Rosen would be the top quarterback in this class if he came out as a prospect.
How can Arizona take a kid in the top 10 and flip him for the last pick in the first round in a best-case scenario and take a kid with the top pick that's far from a guaranteed success? Can you think of a situation like this happening before?
The closest comp that I can remember, that I can think about, is Cam Newton. Remember, Jimmy Clausen was drafted as a rookie.
Second round, yeah.
Second round. Highly, you know, people remember Mel Kiper famously was like, if Jimmy Cross is not a Pro Bowler in 15 years, I'll retire. He's like, well, no, maybe you shouldn't have said that. But, yeah, I mean, that's the closest comp because they drafted Jimmy Cross and he was a total bust. And then they came back and drafted Cam Newton right after. But, you know, not a top 10 pick, no. I mean, this is it's unprecedented. It does speak to the salary cap situation and how these rookie deals, the CBA and the rookie deals and all that. I think it would be more a byproduct of the Cardinals are just desperate. And there appears to be some dysfunction occurring in that front office right now, at least in terms of, you know, what's going on between the GM and the owner. You know, is everybody on the same page? And conversely, I'll say this, you know, if you're Steve Kime and you have, you know, you invested that top 10 pick in Josh Rosen, but then you went out and hired Cliff Kingsbury after the Steve Wilkes thing didn't work out.
After one season, right, yeah.
Yeah, right. But I mean, like I'm fine moving on from Steve Wilkes, but if you're going to gamble on Cliff Kingsbury, who is not a, you know, he got fired from Texas Tech this year, and now he's coaching an NFL team. If you're going to gamble on him, you better give him the quarterback that fits his system the best. And if you got a chance to do it, he thinks Kyler Murray's the guy, and he doesn't think that Josh Rosen is going to work out in that air raid system or whatever he brings. And I think that Josh Rosen could work out. We don't know what Kingsbury's thinking. But you better make sure that you give Cliff Kingsbury all the tools he can have in his first year, because it's not going to be an easy first year with those weapons and that line and the situation that they've got going on there. So that's sort of, to me, the justification of rolling with Kyler Murray at one is we got to make sure Cliff's got every you know, a filled out toolbox as best as possible.
Well, that's really thinking about the future. Well done to the Arizona Cardinals. The only comp that I can think of, and I don't even know if this counts, is when Washington took Heath
Shuler. That's what
Shuler,
I was thinking too. Oh,
and then they took the guy who ended up starting.
I was thinking Griffin and Cousins. The Washington did it again.
Yeah.
I was hoping that was a segue to Charlie Casserly talk. Did you see his agent's comments on PFT yesterday?
No.
Oh my God, you got to go read him. It is this is right up y'all's alley. I mean, Eric Burkhardt, his agent, like they showed up for it's like Charlie Casserly, you know, like, started a knife fight, and Eric Burkhardt showed up with a blowtorch. I mean, he set Charlie Casserly's hair on fire, which probably was not hard to do. He pointed out, he's like, look, if you like a Heath Shuler type, come out and say it. You know, you don't have to criticize anonymously this young man who's worked his ass off for you. And I'm not direct quoting him. He's like, this young man's worked his ass off for years. You don't have to criticize him. He's like, not to mention, he's like, he's like, what, you know, this guy's been the GM, you know, he went 18-34 as the GM of the Texans, has been criticized by players, coaches, and the greatest coach in football history, because Bill Belichick famously said,
nobody's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, go read the comments. Because I get what Charlie was doing. He's a two-time GM for multiple teams. He was passing along what people told him, and he's not the only one who heard questions about Kyler Murray's work on the whiteboard in these pre-draft meetings. But at the same time, you know, you better be prepared for a little backlash. And I like the idea of firing back at the anonymous scouts in 2019.
All right. Well, apparently Antonio Brown's going to be traded somewhere by tomorrow. And in my perfect world, he goes to Oakland, and then Hard Knocks goes to Oakland to broadcast the whole thing. Is this possible?
Yes. I think it's likely.
Gruden just came out and talked highly about him, yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, so I'm writing a, it's going out this morning, but it's like landing pieces for Le'Veon Bell, landing spots for Le'Veon Bell in free agency. If you're the Raiders and you can swing number 35 in the draft for Antonio Brown, and then you can sign Le'Veon Bell, and then you can draft like TJ Hockenson in the first round and two defenders, I'm not saying anybody's going to pick him to be good. But it'd be like, you know what, the Raiders are kind of intriguing. And I, you know, as much as I think that the Raiders wanted to try and develop their roster so that everybody was coming of age by the time that they were getting to Las Vegas in 2020 or 2021 or whenever it'll be, I don't think Gruden can handle losing badly for a bunch of seasons in a row. I think he's got too much pride to do it, because he knows that if he comes back and he goes 4-12 for 3 years, people will be like, well, this guy he's a fraud. It's a fluke. So I could see him sort of, you know, like say screw it on the whole long-term plan, trading for Brown, signing Bell, getting some players in the draft and trying to make a run this year. And I don't know. I mean, like, I can talk myself into the Raiders, being a sneaky wild card team with that kind of setup.
But isn't that just setting them up for inevitable failure? Like they'll never be a Super Bowl team.
Right. Absolutely. No, they would have like a 2-year, 2 or 3 year window to try and make a run as a half-hearted Super Bowl team. Yeah, for sure. No, it's a terrible plan, but I can see Gruden doing it if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What is the talk about Kraft from an outsider, someone who's not in the market?
I think it's kind of quieted down. It has been fairly. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of, you know, the initial buzz of it kind of came and went, I thought. But, I mean, certainly it's a – I think when you look at it, it's a two-prong situation, right? I mean, on one hand, you have, a list of people who have been, popped for this. On the other hand, you have a very serious, bigger, moral issue that you have to worry about in terms of the what's going on behind the scenes. As far as we know, of course, Robert Kraft unaware of that. But yeah, I think it, I think the chatter has probably been about, how is this going to affect his day-to-day work with the Patriots? Will he be facing any punishment? I would assume, depending on how this plays out, that the answer is yes, based on what, Roger Goodell has done previously with the Patriots and previously with owners who were involved in legal issues. And then, how will it affect him long-term with the Patriots? I wouldn't expect it would have an effect, but I think those are maybe the questions that people would be asking. Although, again, I really don't – there hadn't been – it was kind of surprising how quickly it sort of went away.
So, if Kyler Murray is number one, what does that set off in terms of the draft? Because, obviously, I forget who's number two, but they got to take Bosa.
Bosa,
no,
too.
No.
Niners. It's Niners.
Okay, Niners. Oh, okay. They have to take Bosa, right?
Yeah, they would love Kyler Murray one. Bosa would go two. And then you're looking at a situation where Quinton Williams and Josh Allen, who are the other top defensive players, I think you would see them go. What would happen then at that point, though? You would have the Jets in a great position to try and trade down because you have Dwayne Haskins there that the Jaguars and the Giants, in theory, both want. And so there would be a coveted jockeying for those 3 and 4 spots that the Jets and the Raiders have. They could trade down and acquire more assets in what ultimately is a deep draft.
Yep. All right. Well, that Arizona franchise sounds really together. I mean, what a joke. I mean, that is just despicable. All right. Yeah. Listen, Will Brinson, check out the Pick 6 podcast. You can read him at CBSSports.com. Thank you for the time, sir.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Appreciate it. Ay, ay, ay. Can you imagine being a fan of that team? I mean, I'm a Jet fan, and they're a sack of crap, and they've been good once in my entire life. Twice in my entire life.
But do you think they were wrong for firing the coach?
Yeah.
You do? I think they were wrong for hiring the coach.
Yeah, but I mean,
once you have him, give him more than a year.
Yeah, not the way they looked. I don't know about that.
How much of that is his fault? How much of that is the roster?
They were inept. The roster is bad, but they were inept.
See, I think you have to give a guy 3 years. If you make the commitment to hire him, because now you brought in Kingsbury.
Well, I'm not.
Very
I'm not
well going to fail.
Look, I'm not defending the Kingsbury.
Less experience at the NFL level.
I'm not defending the Kingsbury hire either. But I don't think they were wrong to get rid of the coach. They were idiots for hiring him. But if it's a disaster, then you got to move on. I think it'd be real quick to move on from Rosen. But if you like Murray better, what are you waiting around for? Get something for Rosen and get the quarterback you like better.
Yeah, I mean. That's very well true.
But
putting yourself in this position is ridiculous.
The thing may blow up in their faces. They've put themselves in a horrible position. I agree with that.
Right, and if you fire a coach when you gave him the quarterback, and now you've hired another coach where you have to draft the quarterback to fit his system and unloading the... I mean, that's like something you have to think about before you hire a coach.
Yes.
You have to go like, well, if he can't work with this guy we've invested a top 10 pick in, maybe this is not the right hire for us.
Fair. I just think if you like the other quarterback better, sure. I wouldn't shy away from the other quarterback.
Sure, but the way Brinson tells it, I mean, if anyone but Kingsbury is the coach, out of all the NFL coaches, do you think that Kyler Murray goes number one?
No, I do not. So, I do not.
I mean, I don't know.
And by the way,
quarterback in the top 10.
You're talking about the Patriots and draft picks. I mean, they have number 32, but I think they have 12 picks in this draft.
They have 12 picks. Multiple, six in the top 101.
Yeah, multiples in the second and multiples in the third. I mean, they have all the draft capital they need to swing a trade for Rosen if he is available.
Yeah.
And it sets up perfectly for them.
I'm not positive you have to give up a first round pick to get Rosen.
Peter King said third.
Fine. Take a two and a three. We have picks to burn. You're not going to use all of them.
No, they'll trade them back and turn into long snappers. That's what they'll do. So yeah, I would package the second and the third for Rosen.
Slater's getting older. They're gonna need a
new
gunner.
Good point. Yeah. They drafted Slater, by the way.
No, I know.
In the fifth round to be a special teamer.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of competition for Matt Slater in that draft, so I see why you had to target him in the fifth round.
He was a decent receiver at UCLA.
Yeah.
He was a burner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Couldn't have got him in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Listen, he was a burner.
They drafted him to be a special teams player.
And it worked out.
Now, it worked out. Multiple Pro Bowler, but still.
Who said that he should be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it wasn't me.
No. It wasn't someone on the radio. It was like an ex-player or a player.
Yeah, it's. I don't know who
must
it was,
have been
but
Tasker.
It's been said.
I'm thinking it's Tasker.
He said that.
Oh, it was. Was it Chatham?
Maybe. I like Chatham, but if he's saying
don't quote me. That's who I want to say.
Okay.
I like Chatham a lot, but the idea that you're putting a guy who's runs down the field for a living.
He's always there first. He is. He's always there first on punts.
He's very good at a thing that I would say is probably about the 70th priority on a team.
Well, at the end of the game, he goes, how do we feel?
How do we feel? Let's get out of thesaurus. How many ways to say you feel good? How do we feel?
So maybe that, in retrospect, that puts him in the Hall of Fame. That nudges him over.
No, sorry. If Tasker's not in, he's not in.
Yeah, you big Steve Tasker guy.
I know Tasker, multiple-time Pro Bowl.
Was he the one who chased down Leon Lett?
No, that was Don Beebe.
That was Don Beebe.
Don Beebe had the great Gazoo helmet, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe that was Tasker.
I don't remember.
There's so much difference between the two of them. All right. We will have Dan Shaughnessy. Why Dan Shaughnessy, you say? Is because Dan Shaughnessy has some interesting thoughts on one Kyrie Irving. Historical, putting him in historical context. So we will have him on. The Fro joins us in just a matter of moments.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.